What this network needs, this network gets. I promise you that.
The recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment.
The one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
Yo, what's up, kids? Thank you so much for supporting the show. Thank you very much. The Tumblr throwbacks, really appreciate that. But there's more ways you could support us and help us out. Go to iTunes, go to Stitcher, leave a review. The more reviews we get, the better we get as a crew. More listeners means more fun, means more stuff to do, all right? Simple as that. Go to rantemradio.com, go to shiningwizardsnetwork.com, and go to turnbucklethrowbacks.com and get all of our other content, back content, other shows that we support. It's all there. Go get it. It's all for you. You want to buy a t-shirt? Please buy a t-shirt. It supports us. Go to prowrestlingtees.com/turnbuckletrowmax and get one of four designs. You won't be disappointed. They're pretty fresh to death. More importantly, thank you so much for supporting Turnbuckle Throwbacks. We appreciate it. We love you all. Peace out.
I am the baddest dude that walks the streets today.
I'm going to end your career once and for all right here in Madison Square Garden.
I knew that I just had to go down and give her the thrill of a lifetime, the rude awakening.
The last thing I want to do is to own the damn WWF because that's got to be the biggest headache in the world.
Get used to it. Who you looking at, the man? Woo!
It's time to crank your headphones and forget your problems. You're listening to an action-packed episode of the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast!
Booyah!
Yeah, buddy. July the 2nd, 2017. No, it's June. I'm joking. I can't even keep up with that. I'm looking at a calendar. And it's July. So it's June 2nd, 2017. Episode 220 of the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. Welcome to a very special episode. I am your gracious host. Your beautiful host at that. The heavyweight primate. The blue-collar scholar. The Yoder of yesteryear. The impact player, Mr. Phil Rea. And ladies and gentlemen, I have a very special co-host this evening. A man who normally needs no introduction, a man very integral to the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast, and one hell of a fucking human being. Ladies and gentlemen, special guest, identify yourself, please.
The Mega Powers, and we're pre-taped.
That's right, kids. That's right. The Mega Powers making a little run-in. So, yeah, so...
I got a question for you.
Go ahead.
Did you just say that you are the Yoder of yesteryear?
Yoder of yesteryear, yeah.
Okay, because I heard Yoder.
Well, yeah, it's because of my... It's my Brooklynese, I'm sorry.
Okay.
So, all right, as you're listening to this tonight, myself, Choppy, I think Choppy's coming tonight, and a bunch of my family is watching Michael perform in a rendition of Godspell.
Michael's it's not going to be a No Holds Barred, the musical?
No. Michael's been in a drama course in the last year and a half, and he's been training very hard. So tonight's his big night. He's got a solo. So he's very excited. So the family's going to see him. And, you know, once in a while, because you're a parent, you got to take one for the team. But Choppy will be back next week. And I asked Dave to come on because Dave and I are off today. So... figured, you know, let's do a little podcasting.
Well, I'm off for a while, so
I knew Dave was in between you know, projects, if yes. if you want to go, yeah, go that route. So I knew Dave was in between projects, and I knew that he had some free time, and I knew Choppy couldn't do the taping. He's doing 12-hour shifts on this new movie set, so he's extremely busy, but he'll be back next week as advertised. So, Mega Powers, how have you been, my friend?
I've been doing pretty good, man. Been busy helping put together the 16th New York Asian Film Festival.
Yes.
It's going to be going down June 30th through July 16th at Film Society of Lincoln Center and the SVA Theater in Manhattan.
All right.
And, you know, this is like my Christmas. And when I start, like, you know, doing work for the festival, like, I'm super into it. And this year I'm actually like in three departments, I think.
Wow, you're spreading yourself thin, because you've been, I think every year that we've been friends, you pick up another task at this festival.
Yeah, last year was my first year as lead of volunteers. I'm gonna be doing that again this year, but I'm also helping out with I'm also one of their social media leads, so
which is perfect, because Dave's an intricate part of Turnbuckle Throwbacks on social media. Dave really never left the show.
Yeah, I'm well, pretty much like 98% of the posts
on the regular page. Yes, on the we have two pages. We have the group page that's very active, and then we have just the regular show page, which is basically just a advertisement for the show. The shows get posted there, the weekly videos get posted there, and Dave just posts little nuggets of facts, throwbacks, videos, and sometimes commentary. So,
yeah. So yeah. Actually, I was doing that before I was doing social media for New York Asian.
Yep.
And so that kind of helped me as like a launching point for New York Asian, which actually is actually going really well. Actually, there was for National or International Women's Day, I did a post of this one Chinese action star, Michelle Yeoh, and it was just a video of her kicking people for a minute straight. And this fucking thing like went viral. Like there was like over like 100,000 views on it. There were like 600 shares and stuff. So
well, that's cool.
So I really know how to pick them. So they got the right guy on the job for that.
So any celebrities coming through this time that people would know, or just? Or just to the genre.
The press release is going out on Monday, so
okay. So we'll keep it
sworn to secrecy.
Sworn to secrecy. So keep it under wraps. If you guys are into that genre, keep it locked. I'm sure Dave will post something on one of the pages, and him and Rob from Thumbstick Ninjas. It's a real big deal for them. So support that if you're local. Every year they do it, I'm fucking either on vacation or I'm somewhere. So I keep saying I'm going to try to make it. So I'll do it again this year. I'm going to try to make it. I don't think I'm going on vacation. I'm just in between selling the house and moving, so we're trying to get stuff going on for that. So,
well, let us know. We'll put you on the VIP list.
The VIP list.
I'm not talking about the show VIP. I'm talking about a very important person.
Very important person. I appreciate that.
So I know everybody loves the Pam Anderson show, so I wanted to just kind of differentiate between the two.
I think only you like that show, Mega Powers. I don't know about anybody else. We'll get a tally. We'll ask Nick German Suplex and the rest of the crew later on. But thank you to everybody. We're actually live on Rant EM Radio. We will be anyway. Thanks everybody in the chat room, because I know you guys will be there. And thanks for everybody who's downloading this special episode. It's going to be fun. Nothing really going. I mean, there's a couple of news and notes for wrestling. I know Dave's got some New Japan stuff. I know he's been posting, so I want to talk about that for a minute. But before any of that, just keep Mike Mondo in your prayers. He lost his mom a few days ago. He's a Twitter friend of the show. We talk to him all the time. Good guy, local guy from Long Island. Mike still does tours. He still wrestles. Matter of fact, him and Kenny Dykstra just wrestled the Young Bucks in Ring of Honor a couple months ago. So him, the Spirit Squad are still touring. They did England. They did Europe. So you know, keep Mike in your prayers. Like it sucks losing a parent, man. I know all about it. So you know,
thankfully, you know, both of my parents are still alive and kicking.
Yeah.
But I think for anybody, regardless of what your relationship is with your parents, like losing a parent is probably like one of the toughest things to go through.
Yeah, because you don't really, you know, it depends on the relationship too. Like my dad and I weren't close till I was older. You know what I'm saying? He was out of my life for a long time. And by the time I got close to him, like real, real close to him, he got really sick. So I felt like when he died, he, like the whole bunch of time was lost. But, you know, you reflect, and I know Mike has a good relationship with his family because he posts stuff all the time about his family. So it's got to be – and then he lost his cat, too, on top of that. I think like then the same day. So he's having a hard time right now. Also, keep my buddy Jason Grooms in your prayers. Jason, one of the original co-hosts of Turnbuckle Throwbacks when it was in its infancy, when it was still doing the $3 microphone. Jason's going through some medical problems right now. He's been my friend for almost 20 years. So shout out to Big J. We call him Beef. There's a reason for that. He's basically a side of beef. So beef. That's Jason's nickname. If you saw Jason, you know why they call him Beef. He's massive.
So he's a beefy boy.
He's a beefy boy. So keep my man in your prayers. I love you, Jay. I know I haven't spoken to you. I had some medical issues myself. So I'm pain-free now almost 2 weeks, which is cool. And we're trying to get this stuff going on. And, you know, live a little more healthy, a little more cleaner. And it's hard when you're in a routine and your work schedule sucks. You're prone to do bad things. So,
when you're tired as hell and got some snacks around, you want to go for that.
Right. Yeah, that's exactly what happened. So, but either way, we are here. We're hanging out. Me, myself, and the Mega Powers. So
the band is back together.
The boys are back in town, baby. Yeah, this is fun because you know what? We always talked about getting Dave back on the show a few times, just opportunities. So I know anytime Dave has an opportunity, he's going to jump on because he's still. I know deep down he misses doing this every week. So.
Oh yeah, man! It's like fun as hell, and you know one of the big perks or. A few of the big perks from like doing this show is, and you know, I'm sure Phil has mentioned this plethora of times, is you know we've like met some like amazing people along the way. We've got some like awesome friendships, and you know, doing you know like things like going to an ROH show with like 10 guys that are like good friends with one another.
Yeah. And I think that's
something that I've always wanted. So like just doing something like that, you know, just having people that are not flaky. Yeah. Like awesome people is amazing.
Yeah, because and you know what? Ironically, because of the crew, I see Dave more now than I did when we did the show.
Yeah.
So you know, I just to piggyback on that, man, it's been we've been blessed. We have a crew of guys. We get together every couple of months, and we're working on something big for next month, and I'll announce that next week. I was just talking about it with the Mega Powers, but I'm gonna wait till Choppy's in studio so we can make it official, and we're gonna have a big announcement next week regarding the anniversary. The 5-year anniversary of Turnbuckle Throwbacks, which is next month. So we got to.
You're strong.
We have a huge, huge show lined up. I'm just working on the logistics. I'm working on the guests and the calendar, which is why I was on July and I said July instead of June. But yes, so that's next week. Also, next week, I don't know what the throwback is next week. I don't think we picked one yet. I know this Sunday, I will be hosting the Extreme Rules pre-show for the rant. So join us at 7 o'clock. It's going to be myself, probably Surfer, because he's always there. Dr. Doom and the regular guys, you know, AA's not going to be around. So keep AA in your prayers, too. He had a little bit of a sickness in his family, which is, she's better now, so thank God for that. And I think that's it. I don't know. Yeah, and I hopefully I'll stay awake for the post-show. Because I always fall asleep. I tell Surfer, you got to be on alert, because if I fall asleep, I'm not going to get to the post-show. But I'm definitely doing the pre-show, so join us for 7 p.m. after the What Are You Reading comic book show on rantemradio.com, and you're going to get yours truly, always boosting ratings up for the rant when I'm on. And, of course, now Mega Powers, it's going through the roof this week, so it's going to be insane.
It's going to be no room in the chat room.
No, there's going to be no room. There's no sex in the champagne room, and there's no room in the chat room. All right, so not a lot of wrestling news per se. You know, I'm enjoying SmackDown. I don't know. Are you even watching anything except for New Japan?
Really just, New Japan. You know, I do my best to always stay in the loop with NXT. Stuff like the Jinder Mahal winning the title, you know, I had to watch that. So just if like there's like certain, like as far as like Raw SmackDown goes, if there's something that kind of piques my curiosity, you know, I'll do what I can to catch like a clip or something like that. But if it's not like NXT or New Japan or something like that, you know, I'm not really bothering. There's just like way too much wrestling, you know, to you know, keep in touch with and all. And I have New Japan and I have Stardom World as like my streaming services, and I have like a bunch of Blu-rays that I haven't watched yet, and I have another friend of mine that's trying to get me into Shimmer, and he's letting me borrow all these DVDs. So just like a lot of stuff that I'm trying to watch in my free time. So if it's not like really good, then I don't even want to bother with it.
So I obviously we did the whole Jinder Mahal thing last week. I didn't even get your opinion on it. I don't know if you put it on social media, because I've been really bad with social media. I've been so tired because I my work schedule, and then I'm just getting back into the routine of working because I've been out of work so long. What was your take on Jinder winning the belt?
I thought it was great. Not because of Randy Orton losing again or something like that, or. It was just like cool to see like a classic, you know, style heel, like a, you know, an Iron Sheik or something like that, to one of those kind of characters to win the belt.
Yeah, I agree.
And, you know, I know I'm sure there's a lot of people, you know, moaning and groaning that, you know, Jinder Mahal got the JBL route to the title.
Too many people are moaning and groaning, Dave. Too many people.
Yeah. Or, you know, he was in 3-man band and all that. It's like, you know, wrestling isn't like it's not a legit sport. It's not, you know, based on, you know, who's actually the toughest and stuff like that. And, you know, I watched the match and I thought it was actually really well done. I like the Bollywood boys. I know a lot of people are like, oh, you know, these are like a bootleg J&J security. Well, to be frank, I didn't even like J&J security. I thought they were a complete waste of time. And I thought, the Bollywood boys have a lot more personality.
Yeah, they utilize better.
Yeah, you know, those guys, you know, they're not, you know, the most perfect, you know, stooges, if you want to call them that, you know, to have in, you know, have in the corner. But they're doing a hell of a lot better than, you know, most people that have been, you know, in their position. And I think they're really, you know, knocking it out of the park with Jinder Mahal. And I really love the Punjabi celebration, you know?
Yeah. Yep.
And, you know, whether they use him as a transitional champion or if it's going to be like a longer thing, I think, you know, really, you know, all those guys, you know, stand to benefit. And I know this is also, you know, partly, you know, they're doing a massive campaign in India. So I know that's part of it. So, but it's not a bad thing. And I think, you know, over time, you know, Jinder Mahal is just going to, you know, get better, because if they're not going to, you know, put like a complete schlub in that spot.
Right.
You know, it's a pretty major spot to be in, and you can't really put just anybody in there. And I think if you know, for them to do that, you know, there has to be some, at least a little bit of logical sense in doing that. So far from what I'm seeing, I'm pleased. So I have no complaints.
You know, and I, like I said last week, he's not over the top great. You know what I'm saying? He's very, you know, he's stationary. He's a good hand. He's not as fluent as a Randy Orton would be, but like he's decent. Yeah. And people were crying for something different, and we finally give it to them, and they still cry. So I don't, you know.
Same people moaned and groaned. You know, for new guys to come up, and then, you know, we got Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose, and everybody's like, oh, they should have kept him as the Shield and all that. And, but those guys like transitioned like really well, yeah, you know, into their main event spots. And, you know, I'm definitely at a point now where I'm not, you know, rushing for the Shield to come back together. So,
yeah, I'm not even on Raw's radar. I fast forward through it. I didn't even watch it this week. I didn't watch it last week. I watched, like, I just saw the Paul Heyman segment. I'm going to have to watch Raw before Sunday to get into the mood to do the pre-show for the Extreme Rules. But I'm on SmackDown. I'm totally on board with SmackDown. I think it's a better product. I love Nakamura there. I think he's got to get adjusted to the style, because there's only, if he gets to fight AJ, that's old hat to him. But, you know, he kind of struggled a little bit, I thought, against Ziggles at Backlash. And I hope he gets back into that flow. Kevin Owens is great as U.S. champion. He's another anti-American heel with the U.S. title. They're going to bring Rusev back, apparently. He's got a new look. So I'm excited about SmackDown. Better tag teams. They have more tag team matches. You know I'm a tag team mark. So it is what it is. Really nothing else going on in wrestling that's been tickling my tits lately. Just watching a lot of stuff on the network, hence why I messaged you, because I was watching this main event, and I was like, oh, man, this is right up Dave's alley, because there's not only one debut, but there's two debuts, so we'll get into that when we do the throwback, but let's get into New Japan for a few. I watched the first two nights of the Best of the Super Juniors. I think this is number 24, right?
Yeah, the 24th.
And I got to tell you, man, chuck full of talent, a lot of different styles. It never fails that it's a good product. It's almost done, right?
Yeah, tomorrow morning for us is going to be the finals.
Yeah.
So it's going to be Will Ospreay against Kushida, you know, in the finals. You know, these two guys went against each other last year, and I know there's some people moaning and groaning about like, oh, why is it the same, you know, main event from last year? But, you know, they're that good.
Yeah,
so.
Will Ospreay now in Chaos with Okada and those guys.
Yeah.
You know,
there is an interesting, you know, story. You know, obviously, you know, Japanese storylines aren't going to have the same kind of, you know, soap opera, you know, element that American wrestling does. But, you know, it's kind of, you know, even though things are getting crazier over there with like the, you know, the flips and all that other kind of shit, you know, still they kind of, you know, maintain the roots of, you know, like, hey, you know, I faced you a while back and I lost every single time I went against you singles competition. I beat you at the Best of the Super Juniors, and now we have like another shot and I'm going to beat you again. So there's like that element. You know, Kushida's also the ROH television champion, recently won that from Marty Scurll. So, you know, I think this is...
Let me ask you... I'm sorry, I don't mean to cut you off, but let me ask you about Marty Scurll and his performance in this year's tournament. I thought he performed great. I think he's got a little bit of an edge to him now that he's in Bullet Club.
Yeah.
I actually thought he was going to go further than he did. But I think there's a big future for him. In the juniors, I could see him as a junior heavyweight champion. I could see him actually winning one of these tournaments before it's all said and done. He's cutting his teeth there very, very well. I think they're going to keep him around over there because he's only doing Ring of Honor right now, and I think like the British Indies. But if they're smart, they'll keep him around. Well, now that he's in Bullet Club, they probably will. But he did. I think he did well against Liger. He did well in those matches, man. What do you think?
Yeah, I thought he did pretty good. You know, I you know, only recently have been, you know, like he's only recently been on my radar because I don't really, you know, bother too much with, you know, there's just like I said earlier, you know, there's just like so much stuff to keep track of. He's just like one guy that just kind of fell off my radar until recently. And I thought his stuff was like pretty good. You know, this Best of the Super Juniors is really my first time really kind of getting to see him, like, you know, like in depth and, you know, see a lot of his matches with a lot of different guys and, you know, feel New Japan Pro Wrestling is like the proving ground for a lot of guys. Like if you're the best of the best, you know, this is going to be one of the stops on your way to greatness. So I felt like his, you know, getting to see him more, you know, through the Best of the Super Juniors was like a great opportunity on my end. And, yeah, you know, just to see what this guy's all about. And I feel like he, you know, he's got like an amazing look with that, I don't even know what the fuck that mask is called. I used to remember, you know,
like, it is a name
black
for it.
Plague masks and
the
stuff.
The doctors used to use that back in like the early days for exams and shit.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and they don't put just anybody in these tournaments, man. You know, they it takes them like a year to pick who they want in the tournament, who's going to win the tournament, where are these guys coming from? They come from Mexico. They come from Japan. They come from America, from England, from Europe. Like, they don't, this is a big deal for them. And this is like, this is probably next to Wrestle Kingdom, their biggest card. Their biggest tournament, right? Or Dominion, say, maybe?
I would say, you know, Wrestle Kingdom is probably number one. You know, number two is G1. And then, you know, number three is...
Oh, so G1 as well, okay. Which is coming up in July in the States and California, so...
Yeah, because, you know, really, if you watch a lot of New Japan Pro Wrestling, and I've talked about this, you know, on the show, like, way back when...
Yeah.
A lot of these cards have, like, a lot of tag matches on there. So you don't really get to see... You know, at length, a lot of guys go one-on-one. So when these, like, round-robin tournaments come around, like G1 or Best of Super Juniors, like, this is, like, the best time because you get to see guys that probably, you know, may not face each other one-on-one, like, later on in the year or
showcase
not even next
their
year.
Yeah, showcase their talents.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, you have eight guys in each block, and they're all facing each other. You know, they're, you know, you're guaranteed, you know, to see... whoever's in whatever blocker is definitely going to face, you know, guys in that block. So, you know, it's great to, you know, just see these singles matches. Cause like I said, they may not come around anytime soon.
So I think, and then the 31st of May, they had a tag match with, I forgot who it was Omega and the Tokyo Pimp. They fought in a match. I forget who they fought already. My mind draws a blank. I'm trying to do this by memory.
It's probably like Okada and
Gato.
Some of the other like chaos guys.
And of course Kenny Omega, another brilliant promo on his end about his rematch from Wrestle Kingdom at Dominion against the mighty Okada for the Rainmaker for the title. My question to you, my friend. Does Kenny Omega cash in finally and get the belt?
Oh man, that's a tough question because New Japan booking is kind of predictable in a way, but they've also been, you know, going for a lot more surprise upsets lately. So it's gonna be tough to call. Like it's, you know, without a doubt. Omega's going to definitely win the belt at some point. I don't know if it's going to be at Dominion. I don't know if it's going to be at Wrestle Kingdom. Plus, with New Japan, like they tend to kind of, you know, like in a case like Okada, they'll have him come out of nowhere, have him win the belt, and then, you know, drop it like sometime that year or something like that, and then have him, you know, win the title in like a more stronger performance down the road.
Right.
So I'm not sure what they're going to do with Kenny Omega because obviously, you know, we're Americans and, you know, we hear more of, you know, Omega hyping himself up, making himself, you know, out to be like the greatest thing on the planet. And a lot of fans are buying it. You know, I enjoyed the match at Wrestle Kingdom, but I didn't really feel like it was a 6-star match or anything like that. There was some really good psychology in that match, but I did feel it was like a bit reckless at times, and they've been really pushing Okada in these kind of like situations where they're kind of like bringing him like to the brink of death before he wins the match.
Yeah, he did 40 minutes with him, and the only drawback from that match, and I think I said this on the show, the only drawback of that match was the recklessness. I enjoyed the match immensely. It was one of the greatest matches I've ever seen.
Yeah.
It ain't the greatest match I've ever seen, but it was one of the greatest. And I'm just going to disagree with you. I thought it was a great match. I thought it was Kenny Omega's greatest match. I don't think it was Okada's greatest match. Okada had way better matches with Tanahashi and you know, that. I mean, that's and Nakamura, so I mean, that was, and that's just, you know, what I can pull up all the stuff that I thought. I can't do that by memory, but I know for sure they've had, I saw way better matches with him and him, with those guys.
Yeah,
so.
Sure.
But, you know, and the American mentality, like, I'm thinking they brought him back for a reason. They signed him for a reason again. He was a free agent, legitimately a free agent. The WWE was like, salivating at one point while he was sitting home in Canada right? So now I'm saying, you know, they. I think I have to agree with you. They have to give him the belt sometime. I don't know. I don't know if it's going to be at Dominion, if they give him a singles match at G1. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? They normally don't. Yeah. They, like you said, they normally don't showcase guys individually. They normally do it in tags and six man. So I listen, and Okada's been fighting everybody. He fought Fale not too long ago, which was, I thought was a decent match. You know, for Fale, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I haven't seen that match.
Yeah, it was good.
I know, like this year in particular, like Okada's matches have just been like brutal. Like this guy, he faced Shibata, and Shibata's like completely on the shelf because of how much he beat the shit out of him during that match.
Yeah, Okada said he almost. I mean, Shibata said he almost died in the ring.
Yeah,
that's exactly what he said.
What is it, like I forgot what it's called, like something hematoma or something like that. But you know, just
He had a subdural hematoma.
Yeah,
he did. Oh my god, that's a fucking brain bleed, man.
Yeah, because he headbutted him during that match.
Yeah,
and, you know, he busted himself open. Okada wasn't bleeding.
Yeah, yeah. No, Shibata said to a translator, "I almost died."
Yeah. So. And, you know, Okada had the match with Minoru Suzuki. You know, Suzuki has, like, the pan craze.
The gun. Background. He's got the crew back, like
He's a legit, you know, MMA fighter. And that match was not, like, a, you know, that was, like, no bed of roses for Okada either.
No. So. Suzuki looks hard, man. He looks, I mean, he aged, but he's got that grizzled veteran look in his face. He looks like a Fred Blassie almost, you know, like a Japanese Fred Blassie.
He's a dude that, you know, he knows how good he is, and he's not afraid to toot his own horn, as Arn Anderson would say.
Toot. Yeah, yeah. Do you like the direction the company's going in right now, or is it stagnant for you? Because you watch it more than everybody else does.
No, I think what's going on right now is, hey, if I'm watching it, and I watched every single Best of the Super Juniors events, so if I'm watching all of them, then you know they're doing something right.
So tonight into tomorrow is the final?
Yes.
Yeah, so I'm not getting up at 3. I'll get up at 8 o'clock and watch the replay on New Japan
World. Yeah, I'm probably going to watch it.
I'm not watching.
I'm going to avoid social media and then jump on my computer you know, sometime in the afternoon.
Yeah, I'm an early bird, so I'll get up and watch it with breakfast. I'm not going to kill myself. And
I've been trying to do that, like, in the morning, but I've been crafting an iron will not to go on social media.
Yeah. Yeah, it's hard.
Especially now, I think it's gotten even worse these days. People, like, as soon as the 3 count goes down or the tap out happens, like, everybody's posting about it, so there's no way I'm going to even, like, you know, touch Facebook or Instagram or anything like that until I'm done watching the event.
Yeah, no, I got it. I'm going to watch it in the morning, so it's fun. New Japan World is fun.
It's insane. Like, it still blows my mind that there's a streaming service for New Japan, and then that I can watch every single, you know, event, you know, for these round robin tournaments. Because back in the day, you would be lucky if you found the finals or stray matches here and there from throughout the tournament, and or just like anything, you know. Now we can like watch it while it's happening.
Yeah, Nick German just posted. Not to just step aside from New Japan for a second, but Nick German just posted on the Rants group page that Impact is doing their first live show in New York since 2015 on Staten Island.
Oh, God.
August 5th, the day after my birthday. So it's going to be Impact wants you to celebrate, Phil, he says. You know what? I went to the other one with my son in Brooklyn, and we had a great time. So, and they got better talent now. So I may go back, you know, just if it's literally 8 minutes from where I live, so at the stadium. And you can take the Staten Island Ferry, and the ferry terminal is connected to the stadium, so you can get off the ferry and walk right into the ballpark. So that's pretty cool.
As Choppy just commented, it's local and it's cheap.
It is, yeah. No, seriously. You know what? And we, and Dave is on his boat too. We're advocates for wrestling, period. No one wants to see shit go out of business. The more wrestling for us, the better. Even when it's bad, it's still around. And I know people like Eddie disagree with us, but it's, for me anyway, like, I'm glad they're still around, you know? And I'm glad that...
You know, I've had my my doubts about TNA, but I think, like, especially now, because, you know, so many guys are, you know, jump ship. Like, they've, you know, given opportunities to guys like the EFYOB guys and...
Yeah, how great is that, man?
Yeah, like, they're TNA Tag Team Champions. Like, I don't, like, I know that, you know, they're in, you know, Team Pazuzu, but I've never met those guys. They started, you know, becoming more prominent after I left Beyond and all that other kind of stuff. So I never really got to meet those guys, but I know that's a big deal for them to be TNA Tag Team Champions. And, yeah, you know, guys like Dan Moff, like, being on TNA, like...
Yeah, what about Mario Bokura, all the WrestlePro guys? Kevin Matthews is a main player there now.
Yeah, like, these are guys that they're definitely not being, you know, called to ROH or Evolve or anything like that. So for them, like, this is like a great opportunity for them to be showcased. Like, granted, TNA doesn't have the best reputation, especially now, but it's given them a great opportunity to be, you know, on television for, you know, like a wrestling promotion that has TV, you know?
Yeah, no, I agree. I totally agree. You know what? And I feel like there's enough to go around.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I was talking about this with our buddy Dr. Doom last week, and he lives down south, and he doesn't get anything but, like, bi-monthly. And, you know, it's been dry down there since the territory days. And I told him, like, listen, man, you got to take what they have right now, and, you know, once in a while, travel on a Saturday night. Go up to Maryland and Delaware and Philly, and even come up to New York. You know, you came up a couple months ago for pizza and family. You could stay an extra day, call us up, and we'll take you to a show. You know, it's I'm happy. I might even go. It's a day after my birthday. I'll probably be hanging out anyway, celebrating. If we don't go to Medieval Times that night, because, you know, we go to Medieval Times for my birthday, so.
Annual Medieval Times.
Yes, yes. If we're not going that night, then we're definitely going to Impact. So maybe to take over club.
People get to see Meatloaf at Medieval Times. Get to see some Impact wrestling.
Yeah, if the Takeover Club is not at Medieval Times, we'll probably be at Impact. We'll probably just go, just take over, wear our little shirts and hang out. But
yeah.
Anything else tickling your tits about wrestling? Anything else, you know, that you want to talk about that you haven't spoke about? Anything, you know, that's on your radar? Anything, any recommendations? Anything before we take a quick break and go into the throwback?
Well, I don't know if you talked about this last week, but I found out Progress, the UK promotion, is going to be in Queens.
In Queens. We did not speak about this because this was done. This was put up. You guys posted it after the show.
Yeah, they're coming to Queens in August 12th.
Yeah,
there's gonna be an Evolve show beforehand. So
at the same and same day.
Yeah, same day, back to back.
That might be that might be another outing we go to.
Yeah,
and it's the venue is cool. The venue is in East Queens. I'm sorry, Western Queens in East Elmhurst. Very, very, very ethnic neighborhood. It's basically a salsa club when it's not used for wrestling. It's a very, very Hispanic area, very central and South American.
Our dance on as well.
I can do a little bachata. I can get down. I can cut a rug.
Yeah.
But,
Merengue.
Merengue. It's at La Boom, right?
No, I don't know. Actually, no, it's not. That one's not going to be at La Boom. That one's going to be at...
I thought it was at La Boom.
Like an Oaks Lodge or some
Oh,
ship
okay, like okay.
The one that's happening this month is going to be at La Boom.
Oh, that's the venue, yeah, I was talking about. So the lodge, I think, is on Queens Boulevard. So might be the old Elks Lodge. The DCW ran shows out of. So definitely check that out. Go on to Facebook. Progress has been on our radar for a minute. Our buddy Baza has been was on their train for a minute. I think he's the one who initially posted it, I think. And then you guys grabbed it. I forget. I don't know who did it first, but it was, you know, anytime you see wrestling from overseas come over, it's it was, I mean, New Japan does it every year now, Ring of Honor, so it is
It's going to be at the Elmcore Youth and Adult Activities.
What's the address on that?
10720 Northern Boulevard.
Oh, no, it's definitely, so it's more towards City Field, it's not on Queens Boulevard, okay, that's fine, in Corona, very, very central and South American area.
Well, with a town name like Corona, I wouldn't expect any less.
Yeah, yeah. Beautiful park over there, Flushing. It's on the cusp of Flushing, so it's on the borderline. All right. So we're moving along here.
But, something to keep in mind, Progress, obviously, Pete Dunne is their champion, who's also the WWE UK champion. And, Evolve is, like a feeder system, kind of. To WWE, like I got to see, Drew McIntyre wrestle there before, they pulled him back. Yeah, pulled him back into WWE, and a friend of mine who's been getting me into Shimmer, and he would just have wouldn't be able to make it to Evolve. He's like a big fan, and he's like, I have an extra ticket, you want to buy it off of me? I'm like, yeah sure, I'll give it a look. And I knew Chris and Jaka were going to be there, so I was like, let me give it a shot, let me see what Evolve is like, because I think the last time that I went to an Evolve show, like, they were still trying to do like this weird like wrestling, MMA kind of thing. And I know the last two shows, one of them was like Daniel Bryan's like retirement show, and there was another one where I think it was like the very one of the last nights of the ECW arena. They closed it down several times, and there was like a Joey Gargano Ricochet match where they actually tried doing a wrestling match. They weren't doing any flips and stuff like that, and the crowd completely shat on them. This was like years ago. So it's like, let me give it another shot. And I went to La Boom, and I was like, holy shit, this is amazing. Like, they're just doing wrestling now. And they had Tommy End against Tony Nese in a dark match that wasn't aired. And I was like, wow, this is like really, really good stuff. So if you're in the area on August 12th, definitely get some tickets to Evolve and Progress. This is going to be like an epic night of wrestling.
Yeah, definitely.
In the Queens area.
Definitely. Definitely check it out.
Plus, it's not like Progress is like coming around to New York City like all the time. Like, this is like their first foray into it. So, I don't see this being like a regular thing. So I definitely suggest getting your butt out to Queens for this.
All right, well, listen, let's take a quick break, plug our friends, mute the mics like we used to do, and come back and do a little kick-ass throwback for you. All right, you listen to the Turnbuckle Throwbacks. We're live on Rant EM Radio, pre-recorded. Myself and Dave Mega Powers. All right, so keep it locked. Hang out with us for a little while longer. We'll be right back.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
If you're not tuned in to The Shining Wizards, listen to what some of our fans have to say about the show.
Oh my God, I just love The Shining Wizards. It's four fucking virgin marks complaining about a fucking fake fighting show. Keep going, boys. The Stallion fucking loves you.
Tune in live every Tuesday night, 7 p.m. East, rantemradio.com. It's The Shining Wizards, where it's wrestling talk and talk about wrestling.
Are you a pro wrestling fan that also listens to heavy metal? Neckbreaker was designed just for you. Wrestling headlines, metal panels, drinking games, and interviews with guests including Chris Jericho, Nile, Frankie Kazarian, Symphony X, Eric Bischoff, and tons more. Have some drinks with us and listen to Neckbreaker Podcast, available for free on iTunes, Google Play, the Shining Wizards Network, Stitcher, or grab our full archive over at neckbreaker.net.
Do you like obscure references?
Vince just did the old Joel Gertner hand dance, which is awesome.
Pointless banter.
Is that chicken I smell? I'm gonna roll this rock out of the way.
And political gum fuckery?
I haven't played this band since I was in my 20s.
season.
Then join us every weekend on the Inconclusive Breakdown Podcast, your source for anti-PC entertainment news and commentary.
Hey, it's Mike from the Midnight Jury. Join myself and my co-hosts, Adam, Cal, and Sydney, as we bring to you the best in 80s and 90s pop culture, pro wrestling, and horror movies. You can join in the conversation on Facebook and Twitter, and we are available at our home at WLWstudios.com, along with the Midnight Jury feeds on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and TuneIn Radio. Forget about Blu-ray, forget about iPhones, and forget about flat-screen TVs, and travel back with us to the last old-school generation when it was all about Walkmans, arcades, and malls. Once again, that's The Midnight Jury, available on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, and our home at WLWstudios.com.
What's up, everybody? This is the Ace of Belts, Dave Milliken, WWE Beltmaker. You're listening to the Turnbuckle Throwback Radio Podcast.
Tonight, on Saturday night's main event, you Big Boss Man and the Slickster are going to have your day in court, man. You dudes have been passing sentence on everybody around the WWF with your own brand of justice. But now, I'm the new WWF champion, and inside this steel cage, I'm the judge, the jury, and the executioner, brother. I'm going to throw the book at you, man. The training, the prayers, and the vitamins are going up against the handcuffs and the nightstick. And once I find you guilty, Boss Man, in the steel cage, what are you going to look like when thousands of my Hulkamaniacs tell the largest arms in the world to push your fat head through the cage, Boss Man? There will be no mercy. There will be no pardons. I will sentence you to the maximum sentence, a lifetime in eternity at the doom of Hulkamania. What are you going to do, Boss Man, when Judge Hogan passes the final sentence on you?
All right, you are back.
We're back.
Turnbuckle Throwbacks. You know what?
You know, I totally forgot something. You know, I was telling our buddy Thaddeus, my brother from War University. You know, I was coming back on the throwbacks this week.
Yeah.
And he was excited. He's like, "Oh man, like I can't wait," because he loves listening to the show, especially the episodes that I was on. He's like, "I love when you like talk shit to everybody," and you know, I realized I wasn't talking enough shit during the first part of the show.
Okay.
So during the break, had myself a ghetto iced tea.
Oh, there you go.
Which is a little Cisco, some Night Train, and some Thunderbird for flavor. So I'm gonna be on my best behavior. For the second hour.
Well, I didn't
just
think
to make up for anybody that, you know, missed that part of the Mega Powers.
Yeah, there's a few people that love your the character that is David Mega Powers. As well as I do, so. Yeah, yes. So we're on social media right now talking shit about Impact. That may happen, which
and
is
you know, Thaddeus also, he's a big TNA sympathizer. So, you know, aside from Nick German, you know, giving me shit for not liking Bret Hart or Bret the Shitman Fart, as I like to call him, you know, I have to hear more shit from Thaddeus because I'm not a big TNA fan.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, well, listen, hopefully he can join us and we'll make it a night of it and we're going to have a good time, you know? It should be fun.
We'll try to have a good time. It's a TNA show, so
we'll always have a. You know what though? It's. I don't even think it matters anymore.
Good time.
Yeah, exactly. If we go together, it's gonna be a blast, you know?
Yeah.
We'll have Mikey the mascot with us, we'll be alright. We'll be alright. It's gonna be a good time with the boys. Alright, so let's kick this back to May 27th, 1989. This was basically a month after WrestleMania 5, right? Was it 5?
Yeah, well, you know, WrestleMania happened in April.
Right.
So actually,
Hogan won.
Much like this show, this Saturday night's main event was pre-taped a month before it aired.
Yes, April 25th, 1989, it was taped in April for May. So basically, this was a couple of weeks after Mania. Hogan had won the title from Savage. The Mega Powers had split. Macho Man split from Elizabeth totally. And we'll get into that in a few minutes in his match. But
got rid of that dizzy Dame Liz.
Yeah. And, you know, that happened. Rick Rude won the title, the IC belt from the Ultimate Warrior. Bobby Heenan's family was on a roll at that point. They were going after the tag straps with the Brain Busters. You know, it was a good time in World Wrestling Federation history. The thing, though, at Des Moines, Iowa, by the way, shout out to Groomsy. That's where he's in that area in Iowa at the Veterans Memorial Auditorium. So,
well, especially on you know, at least for this episode, it was aired during Memorial Day weekend. So.
Yeah,
what a way to celebrate Memorial Day a month early at the Veterans Memorial Auditorium
in the Midwest.
Yes,
in the flatlands of America, the flat plains. Anyway.
In the heart of the flat plains.
In the heart of the flat plains.
The flattest plains on earth are in the Des Moines, Iowa.
Yeah, basically.
So if you can't get enough of flat plains, head down to Des Moines.
But this is Saturday Night's Main Event, episode 21. And this was a fun card.
I was thinking to myself watching this, you know, for one thing, it's... I was definitely more excited watching this than, like, current wrestling. You know, again, no offense to current wrestling, you know, put over New Japan and all that. But there's something about just, like, these simplistic, you know, matches. And, you know, once we, you know, start getting into match by match, we're going to break it down why these matches are great. But, you know, just, like, the reason why this show is around. It's just, like, old school is always cool. Like, this stuff doesn't get old.
Yeah, no, it doesn't. It doesn't. There was two reasons. Well, there was one reason why I actually do this with me, because one, because I miss you, and two, there's a thing with the that one when somebody makes their debut, let's say at this particular card, and this particular person is a main staple in Turnbuckle Throwback's lore.
Yes, okay. There wasn't just one surprise today. There's two surprises today.
Yeah. So this was this sets up a wonderful summer for them and for Turnbuckle Throwbacks this year. We'll get into that next week, but this is kind of like a prelude to what's to come. And it was a glorious time. Your opening bout now, Hacksaw Jim Duggan had just won the crown from Haku, I believe.
Wait a second. Before we get down to this match,
okay,
there's a few things I want to bring up.
Okay.
And you played one of them earlier. I love the Hogan, like, you know, pre-taped studio cage promo. Like, whenever there was, like, a big, like, cage match coming up, and they would hype, you know, when they were doing, like, the you know, these promos for him. I love whenever they would bust out the cage in front of the guys. Now,
dude, you know, one of my favorite Hulk Hogan promos was behind the cage with Orndorff.
Yes.
When he tells him, nowhere to run, nowhere to hide, Mr. Wonderful. I like that idea, dude. He goes crazy. I love that action.
Yeah, this was still during the age where, you know, a steel cage match was a big deal, where it was like a blow-off. Granted, this is a bit different. This isn't like a big blow-off or anything. Like, if anything, you know, this was kind of like a... I guess this is kind of like a blow-off, because there was, like, the Twin Towers feud and stuff like that. But there was never really, like, a big, like, you know, Hogan Boss Man, you know, singles run.
Right.
But, you know, as we found out now with the the age of the internet, and also if you owned any Coliseum home videos in the past, you would know that they were actually doing this cage match, you know,
across the country. Yeah, across the country, because I saw it in the Garden.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's that.
Actually, that was that match was the one that I first saw. I didn't even see this match until like years later. I think it was like another. I saw the Garden one like on a Coliseum home video called Best of Hulkamania. And then I saw the Saturday Night's Main Event one on some other, you know, Best of Hulk Hogan, you know, VHS tape. But it's insane that, you know, these guys were having this same match in multiple places.
And it's a credit. I don't mean to cut you off, but it's a credit to the Boss Man.
Yeah.
You know, who got that run, who earned the run, I guess. You know. Yeah. So that's cool though. I enjoyed that.
Yes, and another thing I want to bring up is I love the green screen intro from Ventura and Vince McMahon.
Oh yeah,
because you can clearly tell that they're not in the arena.
They were never in the arena. They were only
in the
2000s. Yeah, in the 2000s they were in.
No. For like the original ones, like 85, I want to say.
Oh, the ones from the Meadowlands. Yeah, the ones from the Meadowlands. The first couple would take.
Maybe they were actually in the arena, like until like maybe like 88 or something like that.
Yeah. Well, the first two, they were definitely live. The first one was in Nassau Coliseum. Yeah. The second one was in East Rutherford in the Meadowlands.
Yeah.
That's when Hogan fought Nikolai Volkoff in the flag match. Remember that?
Yes. Actually, like one of the things that, like, you know, watching these as a kid, you know, same thing for pay-per-views too, there was like a clear, it was, you know, became clear later on that some of this stuff was taped, you know, way earlier.
Yeah,
like specifically any, you know, any backstage promos, you could tell that they had, you know, done it like, you know, maybe like sometime like after or before the event or something like that. But as a kid, you try to like justify everything that happens.
Yeah, of course.
It's just like some shit that doesn't make any sense. Like a match is over and Ventura is like, I got to run to the back and do an interview. And then like, he's like, you're trying to figure out like how he's making it from the announce booth to the back in enough time, because they're going there like instantly, like yeah. Seconds later.
Yep.
Like, how fast is this guy running? You're trying to figure out where is the fucking interview space. And then once they get down to the interview, sometimes the wrestlers are wearing like different clothes that they're, you know, different clothes than what they wear to the ring. And like in a classic example for like SummerSlam 90, Texas Tornado is clearly wearing like completely different color tights, and seconds later he's walking to the ring with something else.
Yep.
And you know, as a kid,
you don't pick that up.
You pick it up, but you're trying to make sense of it. Like,
well, yeah, I don't pick it up until I watch it a few times, because I mean,
even like for like some like botched, you know, stuff, like somebody does like an atomic drop or something, and you know, the guy's selling it like, you know, his spine is just erupted, shattered into pieces. And but you know, in reality, you know, like this is probably something that's not really hurting the guy, or you know, it's just poor execution of something.
Yeah,
but you're just trying to make sense of all of this stuff, and this is just kind of like the green screen intro just, you know, just reeks of, you know, taped, you know, like a month ahead of time, just like of this event.
yeah no, it's, I don't pick up on, when I was a kid, I didn't pick up on any of that stuff until I watch it over, because I can't speak for everybody else, but I was so fixated on the talent, like the promo, and you know, you don't start picking that stuff up until you watch it once or twice, so.
Yeah.
But you know, so. Anyway, getting back to the opening match, Duggan had just beaten Haku, I believe, for the crown, right?
It's not just Duggan. He's
King Duggan.
You know what? I want to put it out there. You know, a lot of people calling Haku King Haku these days. I think we should show that same respect for Duggan. I call him King Duggan.
Why is that? How come nobody calls him King Duggan and just King Haku? How come nobody calls Harley Race the King? He was the original King. You know, well, besides Jerry Lawler, like, he was the original King.
Fans out there that, you know, want to say how smart that they are, but they don't remember shit like this. Hey, Harley Race was a king. You know, Duggan was a king. Macho King was a king.
You know what? I think they don't. Not that they don't remember Mega Powers. I think they just don't want to remember.
Selective memory.
Selective memory marks.
Yeah, they don't want to remember when they don't want to remember when Harley Race was handsome. They don't want to admit how handsome Harley Race was.
When Duggan was Duggan, you know.
Yeah.
So what WWF did was they played I like Rick Rude's promo, but I'm going to play it right now. But they show the replay from WrestleMania 5 and how he won the title. So let's take you now to the videotape, as Warner Wolf used to say.
Take a look at this, Jesse. You have clearly seen that Bobby the Brain Heenan will cheat his way to victory, cheat his way to the championship at the expense of the Ultimate Warrior. Look, he's hanging onto the apron.
I love it. It's brilliant. Win at any cost.
Let's take you out of Mean Gene.
All right, Bobby Heenan, we've just seen the footage from WrestleMania 5 when your man, Ravishing Rick Rude, was awarded the Intercontinental title. Clearly, to this observer,
clearly
he broke every rule in the book to get the belt for your man.
Wrong. I didn't break rule number one.
Rule number one? What's that?
Simple. Tell him, Rick. Just win, baby. Just win.
Doesn't it bother you, Bobby Heenan, that your first ever title is tarnished by your misconduct?
Tarnished? Well, this belt shines. Shines almost as good as your little head, Chrome Dome. Now get off the subject. The belt is ours.
Unless you happen to lose it tonight to Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
You're a dreamer, Q-Ball, and so's that humanoid Hacksaw Duggan. He'll never wear this belt. And you know what happens to dreamers, don't you?
What?
They get a rude awakening.
You know, they say success changes the man, but these two men don't seem to have changed one iota.
Oh, I don't know why they don't play fucking Rick Rude's original music. That pisses me off.
Yeah, and they have like the fake, you know, sexy music with the horrible, you know, trombone. Come on, man. Like, didn't like Jim Johnston write these songs? Can't you just play that song? What's wrong?
I have no idea, dude. I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't mind like the fake, cheesy, sexy music, but come on, I don't know. It's just Rick Rude. I want to hear Rick Rude's theme.
Yeah,
he was also the Jesse the Body Award winner.
He was, and it's mentioned in this tonight too.
Which is probably one of the no offense to our gay listeners if they're out there, you know, but the Jesse the Body Award. If you've never seen that, it's probably one of the gayest things I've ever seen in my life.
We do have some gay listeners, but it doesn't matter.
But that segment, has Pat Patterson's hands literally and figuratively all over it.
I got that book. I can't wait to read it. I got it for Christmas. Remember?
The Pat Patterson book.
I can't wait to read it.
Tony gave it to us.
Yeah.
Of course he'd give that to you.
Of course he would. That's how Shining Wizards Tony gets down. You know, that's his MO.
Yeah.
But
that's how it gets down, literally and figuratively.
All right. Let's take you now to Mean Gene with King Duggan. King Duggan.
And newly crowned King Hacksaw Jim Duggan with that recent victory over Haku. It's only fitting that you should be with us on this Memorial Day weekend with the whole country proudly flying a star-spangled banner.
Mean Gene, I'm dedicating tonight's match to all those proud Americans who gave their lives to keep the flag flying over the U.S. of A. I'm grateful to them, and everybody else should be also.
And I'll tell you what, a lot of people would be grateful if tonight you could capture the Intercontinental title from Ravishing Rick Rude.
Mean Gene, that great belt should not be worn over fancy pants like Rick Rude wears. Hacksaw's proud to be red, white, and blue, but that guy seems a little pink to me.
Oh. You
know what I mean? Well, I know you mean business, and I know you love the flag. But what about Bobby Heenan being at ringside tonight? We all saw what he did to the Ultimate Warrior. What's your plan?
My plan, Mean Gene, is to keep one eye on Heenan and one eye on Old Glory. Oh!
All right, Vince, I don't know if Hacksaw Jim Duggan was born on a 4th of July, but I know he'd die to protect the Stars and Stripes. Let's go back to you.
Okay, terrific. Okay, terrific.
I forgot to play the throwback intro, but I don't care.
Duggan's got the jobbers bringing him to the ring.
You got the jobbers bringing him. Well, you notice, but you know who the front jobber is, right? That's Kevin Kelly.
I didn't take a look.
It was the right guy. Was looked like it looks like it's Kevin Kelly, but I don't think it's him. This looks like.
I don't think any.
I don't think
guys
he was a worker.
Really,
well, yeah, but yeah,
Wayne Gill may have been one of those guys, Gilbert, but I really love this King Duggan promo for a number of reasons. One, it's old school, so got to make the Ronald Reagan future Trump supporters, happy by letting the gays have it with that pink comment. And I love how Duggan says he's keeping one eye on Heenan and one eye on Old Glory and looks at the camera completely cross-eyed.
Literally keeping both eyes on in both things because he's cross-eyed.
Yes.
So this match was okay for 7 minutes and 15 seconds. It was, people forget that Duggan was a Mid-South mainstay. And yeah. And Rude was a territory guy. They probably mixed it up in Mid-South a few times. Duggan was a champion down there, and he was also a considered one of the toughest guys. Duggan was considered actually one of the toughest guys in wrestling. However, by the time he got up north to Vince McMahon, his persona and his work rate, was not as great as it was, back.
No, for one thing, as a true old school wrestler, these guys had significantly more dates with WWF, and McMahon was going to market them, as more, family friendly characters. Yeah. So they weren't going to, beat the shit out of some guy and like juice him in front of like a bunch of kids or anything like that. They weren't going to. Do like some like embarrassing, angle or really like cripple a guy in the ring and stuff that you would see in the territory. So that stuff was not going to happen, whatsoever, hence why Bushwhackers became like, the marching morons as Heenan called them, licking kids and adults alike in the front row. So, King Duggan was going to, be the patriot, Americans could get behind. And actually a lot of like international fans, like if you watch some of those Coliseum videos, like the World Tour VHS tapes, you'll see like Duggan wrestle, some of these guys like in Paris, France. And the audience is chanting USA.
Yeah.
Only a guy like, I know it's like some like fans like talk shit about Duggan, like this guy's an idiot and like his work rate sucks, as if he was gonna be some like Japanese wrestler or something, but the guy knew how to rile up a crowd. And if you can get like an international audience, especially like a French audience chanting USA during your match, that's huge. That's a great testament to how over Hacksaw Jim Duggan was. And something to keep in mind with this particular event, with the exception of the cage match, pretty much all of these matches are a really talented, wrestler facing a guy who's got a super limited, skill set. I think Rick Rude, he's probably one of the best, heels of all time. Can work a match with anybody. Hacksaw Jim Duggan, as we're talking about right now, he's not like the technical wizard that, everybody, wants him to be or whatever. And they pull out like an amazing match. And all of the matches that are on this show are usually like a really like skilled guy with a less skilled guy. And they're great matches. They're fun to watch. And you get caught up in them 30 years later.
Hence why we do the show.
Hell yeah.
All right. So before I get into this next match, I gotta get your opinion on this. And how come Jim Neidhart gets top billing to fight Randy Savage, and Savage doesn't get? This is like weeks after the main event at WrestleMania, taking nothing away from Boss Man. Savage should be fighting Hogan in a cage.
Yeah. Wait, when I'm watching this, and Ventura says the same thing. How come Macho Man has to face Neidhart to be the number one contender? He was just the champion not too long ago. It makes zero sense. Like, what? like what happened, you know, during that time that elevated Jim Neidhart to number one contender spot? Did he just like beat a bunch of guys on like some house shows that we didn't know about? Mm-hmm. He has like a secret win over Andre the Giant or Ultimate Warrior or something like that. Come on, like. But of course, you know, the kayfabe reason that they have on the show is, according to Neidhart, if you want to get through Hogan, you got to get through me. So it just seems like there's some sort of arrangement through, you know, through Hogan or something that, you know, if Macho Man really wants a shot bad enough, then he has to go through this badass dude, you know, Jim Neidhart.
I just want to know how he broke the top 10. That's all. That's all I'm saying. What's taking to mean, Gene?
It made no sense, and like this was around the time that, you know, they were trying to separate the Hart Foundation, you know, WrestleMania 5, Mr. Perfect issued the challenge to Bret Hart, you know, for a singles match, and you know, it was their first you know, foray into giving Bret Hart a singles run. Unfortunately, it didn't really turn out too well, so you know, the Hart Foundation came back together. But Jim Neidhart was not doing shit.
No.
And if he was on television in a singles match, it was normally him against like Greg the Hammer Valentine or Dino Bravo, some schlub.
Yeah, just to put somebody over, not to fight the, you know, the number one contender.
Beating a jobber on Superstars.
Right, the number one contender for the title.
He's probably beating some jobber on Challenge, because all like the B guys were on Challenge.
Yeah, the Sunday show.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's take you to Mean Gene, who talks to the Anvil about his upcoming match with the Macho Man, Randy Savage.
Randy Savage, he's the former World Wrestling Federation champion. Why this match at this point in your career?
Why? Because I hate him.
Really?
I hate the way he treated Miss Elizabeth. I hate the way he acted when he wore the championship belt. And I'm going to make sure he never gets another shot at it. He may be able to push women around, but you ain't going to budge the anvil, baby. You want Hulk Hogan's belt? You got to go through me. And without Ms. Elizabeth by your side, you aren't much of a man.
Let me bring up the subject of the Macho Man's new manager. She is Sensational Sherry. What about this gal? What do you make of her? She's always at his side.
Scary Sherry. He's got her by the flea collar, all right. But that's her problem. His problem is me. And this old dog does more than bark.
All right, Vince, whoever said chivalry is dead has a bad Jim the Anvil Neidhart. Let's go back to you.
Now, there you go. It's announced that Sherry is Savage's new manager. And I think the phrase that was coined, Scary Sherry, originated in that promo as well.
Yeah, I always thought it was, you know, Brutus Beefcake who
coined it. Yeah, but
coined that phrase because he was like, well, especially the way that he said it too. Scary Sherry.
Yeah, no,
but,
it's...
But this is, you know, where it came from. And, you know, I think it wasn't only Hulk Hogan who had lust in his eyes for Elizabeth. I think Jim Neidhart wanted a piece of that action. I think he wanted to stick that pointy-ass beard of his in Parts Unknown.
I think half the locker room wanted to go to Parts Unknown with Miss Elizabeth.
Oh, hell yeah.
You know.
That's why, you know, Macho Man was locking her in closets and stuff like that. You know, he'd turn the corner and he'd see, you know, see Coco Beware and that bird Frankie of his salivating at the beak. Wanted some of that poontang.
Salivating at the beak, he says.
Yeah, right.
Oh, it's never a dull moment with the Mega Powers. Oh, boy.
But it wasn't just Coco. It was the bird, too.
It was the bird, too. Frankie had lust in his eyes. See, yeah, this is what happens when you get afternoon tea with myself and the Mega Powers. I got the iced tea rocking over here, too.
And I got my ghetto iced tea right by me right now.
Yeah.
And, you know, if Frankie was still alive... And there was a shoot interview to be done. That bird has some stories to tell.
All right, let's take you to Jesse the Body Ventura, who was doing the heel interviews in the back with the man, the madness, the former World Wrestling Federation heavyweight champion, the Macho Man, Randy Savage, and his new manager, the sensational one, Sherry Martel.
future king and queen.
That's right.
I'm not going to ask you about WrestleMania 5 because I know you're looking to the future. I know you're looking to get your belt back. I know you, Macho Man, and I know that I'm right.
Yeah, Jesse Ventura, you're 1,000% right. Yeah, after I get past Jim Neidhart, I'm going after you, Hulk Hogan. Yeah, I am. I'm going right after you because I'm the number one contender, and there's nothing that you can do about it because I'm coming after you and get my World Wrestling Federation Championship belt back. Yeah, and that lady outside the ring, that woman won't bury me like she did with distractions before. Never again.
You mean Miss Elizabeth?
Yeah, I'm telling you something. Don't say that name ever again. Never once, okay? Yeah, dig it?
You got it, Macho Man. Let's talk about Sensational Sherri, your new manager.
And she looked good, too.
Out?
Yeah.
Sherri, yeah. Beautiful, gorgeous, and lovely at the same time. Yeah. Sensational Sherri, say, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Unbelievable. And she knows her place, too, Jesse.
Sensational Sherri, how does it feel to succeed the First Lady of Wrestling, whose name, of course, I'm not going to mention?
That chicken-legged, bony excuse for a woman. She was no wrestler, and she's certainly no lady. And she is history. Ooh.
Yeah. Oh, yes, the loud, Sensational Sherri. Come on now, we're going to climb that first step of the mountain, get past Jim Neidhart, and on to Hulk Hogan. Yeah, walk this way. Yeah.
The Macho Man Randy Savage is on his way back, Hulk Hogan. Keep your eyes open. And I'm on my way back, Jack McMahon. Keep your lips shut.
All right, we are ready. Man, you know, that Serpent Woman, Liz, causing so much trouble.
You still got heat with Miss Elizabeth, don't you, Mega Powers?
Well... Don't we all?
I mean,
not
just
bothered, but you know, I want to bring up a few things.
Go ahead.
Since we were, you know, getting a little bit into the sexy talk.
Whoa,
Sherri, she's been around, from what I heard.
Yeah.
Go back to the Chris Dickinson episode.
Oh right, yeah, it's right. That's right. That's right. That was meant.
I forgot if he was talking to I think it was Larry Legend, one of the who's also part of Team Pazuzu.
Yeah.
You know, the ring announcing for I think ZZW, and he does some stuff for ROH.
He's the hype man for ROH. He hypes the crowd up.
Yeah, and he was telling Chris some stories about Sherri.
Oh yeah.
Like, you know, sleeping with everybody and anybody, and Chris was just kind of like, you know, God rest your soul, I wish I had a chance.
Yeah, me too, man. She was fucking hot.
You know, it took me a while to warm up to Sherri, but because I remember, you know, just as a kid, you know, if there was like a heel, you know, persona, I just didn't like them, regardless of who they were or anything. Like, if they were a heel, I just didn't like them, and. You know, as I matured, I got to see the finer side of Sensational Sherri, especially because especially during this era, like anytime like Hogan or Warrior or anybody got like their mitts on her, there was definitely going to be a panty shot, you know, on screen. So I know Hogan would hit her with the atomic drop. You'd see like her panties, the garter belt, everything, and the camera would zoom right in, right on those cheeks, and you know, the big cage match at MSG after Royal Rumble 91, you know, basically Warrior kind of stripped her down to her bra and panties in front of the MSG crowd, and you know, after you see that for a while, you're kind of like, she wasn't that bad.
You know, I don't think she's even if she slept around. Like, I don't think she slept.
Like all of them did.
Yeah, but I don't think she slept around to get to the top. I think because she was an accomplished wrestler for a long time. On top of that, she was probably one of the best valets ever. because she gotten she was physical. Like Dave said, she took bumps. Like, you know, she may have been a skank, but God bless her, she didn't sleep away to the top because she already earned that spot. You know, she just wanted that dick. That's it. Know?
But yeah. She's a better talker than most of the boys.
Yeah.
Though. If Sherry was on the screen, if you were caught up in the moment, you'd be pissed off at whatever she had to say, especially if she was dissing Miss Elizabeth or Hulk Hogan or anybody. And, you wanted to see her get her comeuppance. And she was one of the few chicks that would, let Hogan, Atomic Dropper or have Ultimate Warrior Gorilla Press Slammer. You know, this wasn't like something that you were going to see happen to Miss Elizabeth with any of the heels or anything like that.
No, her and Bobby Heenan took bumps, you know?
Yeah. Straight yeah. It was unusual. I know like a lot of, people nowadays they're more, PC and, they don't want to, you're not going to see this stuff on WWE television, but back then, while this stuff was happening in the moment, she was just such a bitch, and you wanted to see her, you wanted to see Hulk Hogan punch her, you wanted to see her get knocked out by anybody. She got legit heat from the fans. So again, that's like a big testament to her. Her performance in the ring, it was very, compelling.
Yeah, I'm not mad at that at all.
And you know what? There's also a sexy story about Jim the Anvil Neidhart. You want me to tell that?
Yeah, real quick, just to segue into the match. Yeah, go ahead.
I'm pretty sure somewhere on YouTube, Sonny has a Jim the Anvil Neidhart story where he's trying to seduce her. And this was kind of like a recent like seduction, and he sent her like a wasn't a dick pic or anything, but a shirtless pic. And we all know how massive that gut is, but he gets that frame as low as it can go before it shows like his tag team partner on there. So I just thought it was funny that Jimmy Anvil Neidhart is. Man's trying to be sexy too.
Well, he did shave his abdomen hair to make a six pack. So,
yeah,
that's pretty sexy if you ask me.
Pretty impressive.
Pretty impressive. The fact that he even got his razor to do that, because I fucking.
Because even the razor itself, even though it's like inanimate, would just refuse to do that on a normal basis.
Right. I don't think anybody's normal razor, electric or manual, would do that.
Nah, just shut right off.
Savage does win with the elbow with little help from Sherry. Sherry just all over the place, and again,
in a convincing match.
No, yeah, it was good, man. And the Anvil gave him a couple of nice spots, and Savage took some nice bumps too.
Yeah, Jim the Anvil Neidhart, got his lucha on, his lucha underground going on. Did the catapult over the top rope?
Yeah, that was cool. I like that.
That
was a high spot back then,
Yeah, that was like a dude that size. Like whenever, Bam Bam Bigelow would do like a similar spot. That was huge. This guy flew over the top rope.
Anybody over 250 pounds that did that was huge back then, because it was not because they were huge, but because it was because it was a spot. Not normally done.
Yeah, because most of these, especially guys back then, I think, to quote Raven, like a high spot back in the day would be somebody reversing an Irish whip.
Yeah, right, exactly.
That was the big turning point of a match. If a face was, getting the crap beat out of him, and then, there would just be that point in the match where, he would reverse an Irish whip or something like that, the fans would just light up. But to... most of these guys, whether they were under 300 pounds or what, they were just like big lumbering dudes.
Right.
Big slabs of beef. And they weren't, they weren't going to the top rope to do anything.
Right.
If you got a splash or a double axe handle, off the top rope or the second rope, that was a big deal. But you weren't really seeing guys like a Jim the Anvil Neidhart or anything like that doing like these... these high spots. So when you saw him do it, it's like, whoa.
Right.
That guy can get off his feet. Wow.
Yeah, it was pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Which takes us now to the main event for the World Wrestling Federation Championship. And by the way, Shining Woods of Tony just pointed this out to me, actually, and in a text message. He didn't bring it up. He had a show last night with the Wizards. Go download that over at AM or ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. Cheap plug. Ring the bell. It's been 15 years since they changed their name from WWF to WWE.
Yeah.
And we still call it WWF.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Thank you, Tony, for reminding me. He said he forgot to mention it last night, so I told him I would do it. He doesn't even know I'm doing a show right now, but you know, either way, he knows I'm doing something, but he doesn't know what it is.
He'll find out.
He'll find out tonight, though. So will everybody else. So you found out already because we're a buck and a quarter in. So
yeah.
Anyway, so Hogan, the newly crowned World Wrestling Federation Heavyweight Champion, taking on the Big Boss Man with the Doctor of Style, Slick, one of the greatest talkers of all time. What's taking out to the back with Jesse the Body Ventura, who looks like a fucking roadie for the Grateful Dead, with his tie-dye shirt on and his Eric Estrada glasses.
Street University.
Yeah, exactly.
Manage the first shot at the Hulkster and the WWF title for the Big Boss Man in a steel cage on national television. How did you do it?
Slickly. Very slickly. It's my name and it's my game, Jesse. Hogan has something to prove. He's running scared, and he has lost his cool. Tonight, the Boss Man is going to put him on ice.
Boss Man, you've gotten what you've always wanted. Hulk Hogan behind bars. What's your plan for Hogan tonight?
Well, Hogan, first boy, I'm going to rehabilitate you. When you come through, I'm going to do it again. You're in my jail now, and I've got the only key. You're going to serve some hard time, Hogan, with a hard man, the Big Boss Man.
You've got the match you wanted, and your man is primed. You seem to have done it all tonight.
Sorry to refute you, Jesse, my man.
But
there is more to come. Tonight, there's going to be a big surprise.
A surprise?
That's right, brother, because you see, the Slickster is a showman. And tonight, you will see a show the whole family will love. Now, come on, boss man. We've got front row seats, brother, and it's
showtime. McMahon, I've waited a long time for this night. Tonight, the curtain's gonna fall on Hulk Hogan. An iron curtain. Back to you, Jack.
Ooh, a surprise. I wonder what it could be.
I wonder what it can be, Mega Powers.
Even though I watched this, I have no idea what the surprise is gonna be.
So, Boss Man with his sweaty armpits.
Yo, I've had, like, many of talks over the years with people about, like, how fucking sweaty and disgusting the Boss Man was. Like, it wasn't, like, you weren't getting a good Big Boss Man match unless, like, his shirt, like, exploded open during the match and, like, the pit stains were just, like, engulfing the shirt. Like, that's when you know you were having a good Big Boss Man match.
Yeah. So... They make their way into the ring. Boss Man is grossly overweight at this point. He's really bloated. Like he's got to be about 400 pounds.
He has redeemed a lot of Golden Corral gift cards.
You damn right he has. But he could still move. He could still work. And he had like this gray masking tape on his wrists. I guess he ran out of white tape.
Yeah, I wonder what that was about, because there were like a few guys that would do that at times.
Yeah, they must have forgot the tape and probably took one of the grip guys and be like, yo, man, let me get some of your tape.
Yeah.
The guys who taped the wires down and shit when they set the cameras up and everything.
Yeah, let me get some of that Gorilla tape and wrap it around me.
Took a bunch of stash from Choppy's bag.
Yeah.
So, all right, let's take you now to the ring. The Doctor Style Slick has an announcement.
Is 6 feet 11 inches tall. My surprise is 343 pounds. My surprise is Zeus.
Oh my God.
Wow. Take a look at that.
And here I'm going to get out of prison. The guest of the Doctor of Style, the
Slickster. You know, he's the real star in No Holds Barred, not Hogan.
That's a matter of opinion, Jesse. But this man unquestionably is a force to reckon with, whether it's in the film No Holds Barred. But the Slickster has him here at ringside where he doesn't belong. There's no reason for this monster to be down here at the steel cage, slamming the door shut.
Zeus closes the cage and stands right in front of the door with his arms crossed and his fake Flash Gordon Ming the Merciless gear that he had on. So Hogan makes his way to, well, I don't want to hear real American, but Hogan's making his way to the ring, and, you know, he's doing his thing with the with that awesome wing belt, and he gets to the, right before the door, and he slows down a bit, and he's pointing right at Zeus, like, what the hell is going on here? I thought you were in jail. Let's take you now to ringside.
Zeus wants a real-life confrontation here, McMahon. This ain't the movies here. This is nose-to-nose. Look at the size of that monster.
He said, move me, Zeus says.
Standing in the hole. Ooh, a kick to the chest area by Zeus. Zeus hammering in the back of the head. Down the trapezius area again. Zeus is a maniac, just hammering the Hulkster down.
And what a surprise to Hogan. He's still got to face the boss, man. And look at Zeus is just leaving him laying. There's the champ.
Hogan must face the big boss man in the steel cage matchup when we return.
Oh, boy.
So now, what? I actually got several things to bring up before we get right into the match.
Okay.
It has something to do with Zeus and all the entrance and all. For starters, not too long ago, at the day I did the Dave Bullis podcast.
Yes, you did.
Podcast. I put the throwbacks over on the show.
Thank you.
And when I did it at Dave's house, we did the show there.
Right.
As soon as I walked in, because we were going to hang out and like watch movies and stuff like that, one of the first things that he brings up to me is like, "Oh, you know, since you were coming over, you know, I got this." And then he pulls out the Blu-ray of No Holds Barred. So I'm happy that even though I haven't been on the throwbacks, you know, on a regular basis, I'm still known as like a Zeus man. So
yeah, dude, you're fucking, you know, you're the reason why we do this.
Yeah.
You're the reason why you and Maddie Legend are the reason why Mr. Brell is on our intro.
Yeah, you know, and how perfect, you know, that intro is for the Rant Network and all that. And you know, I also wanted to mention, you know, Slick, you know, brings up that Zeus is 6'11".
343 pounds.
6'11". Why not just do the guy a favor, throw him an extra inch so he could be 7 foot tall?
Well,
it's just such a funny, like, little, like, thing to do.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's funny because I'm 5'11", but they said, well, you're 6 foot. I'm like, I guess. I mean, but there are days where I'm 6 foot and there are days where I'm 5'11". So, yeah, throw him the extra inch.
343 pounds. He's 40 pounds heavier than Hulk Hogan. So
yeah, Hogan was, like, 302 at this point.
Yeah, I think they at this point he was like a stagnant 303, and yeah. I think like the height was like 6'7" or something like that. So, you know, for like the monster heel, they had to make him taller and heavier than Hogan. Another thing I wanted to bring up, and you know, this has been, you know, mentioned on another podcast, but they did the same match with the same spot the night before. When they taped this, and you know, with Zeus coming into the World Wrestling Federation, obviously, you know, this is an actor, he's not a wrestler, so he's not coming in with the same, you know, wherewithal that, you know, a veteran wrestler you know, would have, you know, being put into a main event spot like this. And I heard that when they performed the same exact entrance, non-taped, same match, same scenario, when it came time for him to boot Hogan in the chest and, you know, do the Tor Johnson, you know, shoulder blade, you know, slap.
Right.
There was like a considerable amount of like distance between, you know, his hands and Hogan's body.
I thought you were going to tell me that he no-sold it.
No. He hardly touched him.
Oh, that's a day. Wow.
The audience, it was as clear as day to the audience, and they started booing it.
That's funny.
So they had to, like, you know, smarten, you know, Zeus up, Zeus. You know, after the fact. So thank God that they, you know, did like a dry run on a house show for this. But the motherfucking dude just. Yeah, you know, he was that stupid that, you know, he just didn't even, like, touch Hogan.
Nice.
You know, this is kind of like, you know, when you're a kid or something like that and you're trying to figure out, like, you're starting to get smartened up to, you know, that they're not really hitting each other or they're just being as soft as possible, but they're making it look like, you know, they're like, you know, fracturing a guy's skull or something like that. Unlike nowadays where it seems like they're actually doing it for real. But, you know, when you're trying to figure that out, like you're like hitting your buddy or your friend, like, you know, with, you know, like a good foot distance between your fist and their body or their head or whatever. And it was funny that this dude did this in front of a live audience at a WWF event. And he's being pushed in the main event. So good thing for us, you know, granted, like the performance here isn't, you know, Oscar award winning because I could definitely tell, you know, that those giant shoulder pads, his Delta Burke, you know, esque shoulder pads got on.
His Flash Gordon shoulder pads.
His Ming the Merciless. Here, like it's getting in the way of him like trying to, you know, hit Hogan's shoulders, you know, Lord knows. What that does, but that was a patented Zeus move, you know, like, you know, the shoulder hit.
Yeah, that was he did it in Friday too. when he fought Craig.
The things you pick up in prison, you know?
Yeah, no, he did that with Craig. He fought Craig at the end of the movie. Come on, Craig. Anyway. I mean, good match. I mean, you know, typical Hogan.
You know, as we talked about earlier, you know, they did this, you know, match like, you know, several times on house shows. One thing that came, you know, on my radar like months ago was there was actually, you know, we're all like fond and, you know, familiar with the Blue Steel Cage. But I only found out, you know, like a few months ago that they actually had a fence wire, you know, old school NWA like cage match, Boss Man and Hogan.
Yeah, wasn't
in Boston Garden.
Yeah, but wasn't that cage in the garden as well?
They would use that cage in the garden, but for the garden one, they used the blue bars.
Right. No. Yeah, I thought. Yeah, because I guess it depends on like availability. I mean, the trucks delivered. I'm sure they had the truck wasn't there, or maybe they just want to switch it up.
I think normally. Madison Square Garden would have the blue cage.
Yeah,
but if it was like a Boston show, if it was somewhere else, they'd probably bust out like a regular, you know, fence wire cage.
Yeah,
but you know, one of the things that is known, you know, if you know anything about this match, it's the superplex, you know, spot.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And I was wondering.
Why
did these guys? What the fuck are these guys gonna? How the hell are they gonna pull it off in a fence wire?
Yeah,
you know, cage
carefully.
Because the reason why, yeah, how are they gonna do it carefully? Because you got like guys that are over 300 pounds, you know, about to superplex each other off a fence wire cage. You know, how are they gonna get their footing and all that? And because the purpose of the blue cage was because, you know, some of these guys that were in the WWF were so big. You know, how the hell are they going to fit their foot, you know, through the holes in the fence wire?
Right.
So the purpose of the blue cage was, you know, so these guys could get like a good footing on there and actually, you know, climb up. And actually, they did not do that spot for the Boston Garden match.
No.
They ended up just, if you're curious what they did instead, they actually just threw each other face first into the cage, which was actually a spot, you know, for the Saturday night's main event match. They just threw each other face first into the cage and laid on the floor for a very long time.
No, man, I didn't know about that. That's a great tidbit. Thank you.
I'll post it on the Facebook page.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. All right, so Hogan wins the match in Hogan fashion. Slick takes the big bump in the ring, tries to interfere. Hogan takes his hat and poses with it.
You know that you've been completely humiliated when somebody beats the shit out of you and then wears your hat.
Exactly. Like, I'm going to beat you up, and then I'm going to take your fucking gear. And, you know, it ain't like...
I'm going to wear your hat. I'm going to dance around the ring wearing your hat. And
right. It ain't like Dusty Rhodes, you know, saying...
You like this hat?
Sure do.
You better like this hat. That's no lie.
Knowing Dusty, he probably took it off somebody. And
yeah. But, yeah, I want to go back a little bit, because that superplex off the cage was... such a significant, you know, spot. They're, like, previously the biggest, you know, high spot you would see in a cage match was, you know, Superfly Snuka flying off the cage with the splash.
Yeah, you know, I don't... If the significance for me was me seeing it live and then seeing it on TV, I don't know if I was that aware at, you know, 12 years old. You know, that I mean, I knew it was a high spot, but I really didn't appreciate it till the Coliseum videos came out and shit like that, you know?
That's actually, I was going to lead up to that. I was going to ask you, you were there live.
Yes,
you
know, I was there. It was a Saturday matinee show, and I actually lost my job. I was, truth be told, Phil was a truant in high school, okay? Well, I was a truant before high school, and when you're a truant before high school, they automatically put you in a program that, you know, it's like a truancy, almost like special ed, but it wasn't special ed. They put you in smaller classes so you don't get into that much trouble. So instead of having like 30, 40 kids in a class, you'd have like 15, you know. And this is the bottom of the barrel. We're talking drug dealers and hoodlums and, you know, the whole nine yards.
Pimps and pushers.
Basically. And that's not even exaggeration. So I'm in this program. And part of the program was a work program where you would work for 3 days in your neighborhood. The school would actually go into your neighborhood and go to different businesses and see who was hiring. So I was like 15, 14, was it 13? How the fucking was I? I had to be like 15 or 14 at that time. I wasn't 12, I was older than that. So I'm in this program, and they gave me a job at a sporting goods store. Like, this was the dream job, you know? I get access to... Right. It was well, it's called Galoptas. It was owned by these two Irish immigrants. They were a couple, nice people. They lived in the Bronx. They were from Ireland. And, you know, they embroidered all my jackets, my jerseys. I was like the fat Laverne from Laverne and Shirley, you know? My name was on all my starter coats and shit. So I wound up... I wanted to go to this match. And they were like, we have to work at Saturday. I'm like, I can't, you know, I can't miss this match. If you don't come in, you're not going to come back. And I was like, all right, whatever. And I lost my job. I went to the matinee show to see Hulk Hogan versus Big Boss Man. It's all we talked about. Like, Monday I went to school with the program. My teachers were like, oh, did you go to wrestling? I'm like, yeah, I went to wrestling, lost my job. Oh, no. So I explained that to the principal. But you know, it is what it is, and it was just the crowd reaction. The Garden was always packed at that point, you know. The Garden was always it was the mecca of sports entertainment. So, you know, seeing it live was spectacular, you know.
What was the crowd, you know, reaction to that superplex off the cage?
Like a gasp, and
air was sucked out of the building.
Right, yeah. And, you know, the old Garden held 18,000 people, you know, without standing room, you know. So it was 18,000 people, like, gasping for air. It was the craziest thing they've ever seen in their life, you know. But to see a 400-pound man get superplexed off the top of the cage by a 300-plus-pound guy.
Yeah.
You know, it was a you know, listen, to give credit to the boss man. I'm not saying Hogan didn't get any credit for climbing up there and suplexing him, but that's a hard spot for a big guy, man. I mean, it's not, you know, Vader wasn't getting suplexed like that. Bam Bam wasn't getting suplexed like that. Andre wasn't getting suplexed like that. Stud and Bundy weren't getting suplexed like that. Hillbilly Jim wasn't getting suplexed. You know what I'm saying? The big guys weren't getting superplexed like that, you know?
No, and I don't know what the stiffness of those rings were like back then, because I know, you know, McMahon would, granted, you know, this is like family-friendly stuff and all that. I know McMahon would still strive for, you know, some sense of reality with these matches. And when you saw guys get, you know, suplexed or body slammed onto those mats, they weren't bouncing.
No. And they used the same ring, so it wasn't like they were like, well, we'll use this ring for the Garden and this ring for Boston and this ring for Toronto. Ooh. Those rings were stationary. It wasn't like the cages or anything like that. So, you know, it was a good match, you know. It was almost 6 minutes long. I'm sorry, 10 minutes. It was 10 minutes long. The other match was 6 minutes. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. It was 10 minutes and 1 second. It was a good 10 minutes and 1 second. Though it was fluent. Even with Hogan, even with Hogan being down initially with Zeus, that was fun. This now leads to Zeus and Hogan and Savage and all that other nonsense with the movie and all that. So it was a good time to be a wrestling fan. And we're not even done yet. We got two more matches. Well, actually, one match if you don't count the last match, but.
Who knows what's going to happen when it's no holds barred,
right? World
Wrestling Federation,
exactly. I still want to get my Rip shirt. Brain Busters, Tully Blanchard, Arn Anderson. We all know their fame from the Four Horsemen. Now they're in WWF, and they got the Bobby the Brain with them. Hence the Brain Busters. I love the name. Going up against the World Tag Team Champions, Axe and Smash Demolition. This was a really good match. Let's take you now to Jesse the Body Ventura, along with the Brain Busters and Bobby Heenan, who's gleaming right now after his one guy won tonight. So hopefully he wants to go 2-for-2. So let's take you now to the back room, dressing room.
Busters challenging for the World Tag Team titles. Some commentators have said, Bobby, you would never manage a champion. What do you say to them tonight?
Well, they're all jealous, but I say that seeing is believing. You all just saw Ravishing Rick Rude. He is still the Intercontinental Champion. And very shortly, you're going to see I have new tag team champs.
This is quite a night for Bobby Heenan.
No, Jess, it's not quite a night for Bobby Heenan. It's quite a night for the whole Heenan family. Because when one wins, we all win. Right,
boys?
That's
right, Bobby.
That's right.
Tully Blanchard, when you joined Bobby Heenan, did you think the title shot would come so quickly?
Jesse, Bobby told us it would happen if we believed in ourselves. We believed it, and tonight we're going to achieve it.
Arn Anderson, your thoughts?
Jesse, I'm thinking that belt's already ours. All we got to do now is go down and pick it up.
Bobby Heenan, any special worries with Demolition, the current champions?
I do have one worry. That's my great team here in New Champions will contract lead poisoning. You see, that's because of all that cheap paint they put on their ugly faces. Other than that, I don't have a worry in the world.
If confidence is the key to victory, then the Brain Busters are a lock. Back to you, McMahon.
Thank you ever so much.
They didn't have music. I was pissed off about that.
Yeah, I wonder what the Brain Busters theme song would sound like.
Yeah, I always wondered. But they had cool, you know, they had the satin jackets with, you know, the names on them, like always, you know.
Just like you did, but they weren't starter jackets.
They weren't starter jackets, but they, you know, that was the thing back then, was to have the satin jackets, the varsity jackets, you know. But they,
Tully and Arn, professional.
Yeah, Tully and Arn, one of the greatest tag teams ever. They did eventually win the tag team titles, but we'll get into the match right now. Let's take you now to Mean Gene, who's with Axe and Smash, and they're looking to kick some stinking teeth in.
Gentlemen, tonight you have a critical match against the Brain Busters. Bobby Heenan has waited for this opportunity for a long, long time. As a matter of fact, he contends that this is going to be his night. What do you have to say about that, Axe?
Mean Gene, I say this is the night of champions. Heenan and the Egg Beaters, they're nothing but chumps. We got the belts.
All right, Smash, you beat the powers of Pain and Mr. Fuji in WrestleMania 5. But tonight, can you beat Bobby Heenan and the Brain Busters on Saturday night's main event?
Beat them! We'll demolish them! We're the Demolition!
We're the champs. Come on, Axe.
Let's go, take
it. All right, Vince, Demolition does have the momentum. Will they mow down to Brainbusters tonight, or will they crash and burn? This is what wrestling's all about. Let's go back to
Jim Johnson's best song.
All right, our third championship.
With Rick Derringer.
Yeah, this is Rick Derringer.
Well, no, Jim Johnson produced it. He produced the whole album.
Rick Derringer performed it.
Yeah, no. I'm not saying Jim Johnson sang the song. I'm just saying that he produced it. He wrote the song for Rick Derringer. Little Phil Ray of fun facts for you.
But you know, Rick Derringer, he performs Real American during some of his shows.
Does he really?
Yeah, like if you go on YouTube, you can actually find Rick Derringer performing that song like at shows.
I'm a Demolition guy. You know, the Road Warriors are my favorite. Some experts have called them the knockoffs. I disagree.
It didn't really matter, like, back then.
Yeah.
People, you know, even if you were, like, some Mark kid, you know, watching WWF, like, you knew that there was, like, a connection between them and the Road Warriors. But it just didn't matter. You know, Demolition were just so cool that...
Yeah. And they could wrestle.
Yeah, and it didn't matter if they came out wearing the gimp gear or anything like that.
Right,
so.
And, you know, again, Barry Darso is Smash, Crusher Khrushchev, good talent in the ring, trained with the Road Warriors. Bill Eady, people forget that he was fucking, you know, the mass superstar. You know what I'm saying? Like, people forget that. Like,
yeah.
he was an accomplished wrestler for a very, very, very long time. And this was his twilight. This was his bowing out. You know, and he was at the top of his games. Demolition, the only thing I had an issue with them was the friggin' the glitter in their hair. They didn't need glitter in their hair. That was probably just for the cameras and stuff, though. But
if the gimp gear wasn't enough, you got to throw some glitter on. There.
Right,
Come
the gimp
on.
Gear wasn't enough. They got to put the glitter in their hair with the face paint. And you know, this was a good match. This went almost 10 minutes, 9 minutes and 15 seconds.
This was actually a really good
match. This was a fantastic. I think this was probably the best match on the card. But you know, again, all these guys can work. So when you go out there for almost 10 minutes for a Saturday Night's main event, you're gonna get a good match.
Yeah.
Anything over 5 minutes on Saturday Night's main event, you're gonna get a good match. This was a good match.
I always preferred the Saturday night's main events over like the pay-per-views and stuff like that. Because, you know, chances are you were going to have more interesting matches. You were going to actually have like feuds were going to be completed on a Saturday night's main event.
Correct.
So it just like some of the even like, you know, when they would do like Oktoberfest and stuff like that.
Right.
Like,
right.
That was hilarious. It was just such a more enjoyable wrestling experience than, you know, granted, you know, WrestleMania is, you know, the show, but it was all like focused around the main event, and you would just have like all these like filler matches basically just to get most of the roster on the card. But Saturday night's main event, you know, they just you know, it focused on actual storylines that were going on, and you know, any shit matches, they would just, you know, get them done as quickly as possible,
which
and you
is
know
the
get
next,
down to,
yeah,
the, to business,
hence
the next match.
Yeah. Well, but just to finish this one up, the Brainbusters do win by disqualification. A melee breaks out, and all four guys just brawling. A referee gets thrown out. I think Axe throws the referee and throws him. And just
saving their titles from the more superior Brainbusters.
Yeah, who, you know, this was a... And, you know, yeah, you say that in hindsight, but they look superior in a storyline. So,
yeah.
I think both...
Just the Brainbusters, you know, granted, they have a lot of street cred from, you know, the Jim Crockett promotion, you know, days at NWA. But, man, just, like, watching this match, you know, granted it ends, like, in the DQ, but they just, like, did some, like, really smart, like, you know, heel moves. Like, you know, Smash is trying to get the hot tag to Axe. And,
yeah, but,
you know, he's almost there. And then Tully Blanchard, you know, just jumps off the apron, runs around to the ring, and pulls Axe off the apron.
Yeah, but what about Tully Blanchard taking? He takes the press slam through the middle rope from Smash,
Yeah.
Then comes back in the ring and gets fucking clotheslined over the top rope by Smash throws him in, and then Axe clotheslines him on top of Bobby Heenan.
Yeah, it was just like
into a commercial break.
It was like so perfectly, you know, done. Like you couldn't have planned that stuff any better. Yeah. And just how it looks on screen is just amazing.
Bland. Blanchard bump.
I didn't know that Smash could, you know, gorilla press slam anybody.
He was hanging out with the Road Warriors, Dave. They all worked out together. So he probably bent that like bench pressing conference.
Those Minneapolis guys.
Yeah, all those Minneapolis guys. They all worked together. All those Ray Sharkey guys, that they could probably press slam fucking small compact cars.
You know? But it just wasn't something that he would normally bust out during a match. So.
No, he busted out because he was fighting Anderson and Blanchard. That's why.
Yeah, so you know they had to up their game. They couldn't just do the stomps and the forearm clubs that they normally did.
And you know Tully had a really bad coke habit at this point. So and this is right before he failed the test in Philadelphia.
Yeah. They won the titles.
They won the titles. Year. Then yeah, it's not even a year though. This happened. They won the titles, and then then Arn gave his notice because his kid was like 3 years old, 4 years old at that point. He wanted to be home with his kid, and Tully also gave his notice, but he was going to wrestle before he gave his notice, and he got tagged for coke. He had a really bad coke habit. Tully Blanchard was my MVP of this match. He took a bunch of crazy bumps in this match.
So I think it was like by the time Survivor Series rolled around, like the Brainbusters were already champs. Already gone.
No, they were gone they were gone right before Survivor Series.
But they because Anderson was in the Survivor Series match, and Heenan took Tully Blanchard's place.
Yes, that was the finals. I think that was in Philadelphia. That particular match. So I think he got fired during Survivor Series. I've looked that up. Yeah. But again, good match. I enjoyed it. Match of the night. I thought all guys performed well, especially Tully Blanchard. Bobby Heenan. Everybody played their role well. Even Joey Morella took a nice bump.
Yeah, he took it like a champ.
So do you want to get into the squash match that was Snuka and Zukov, or do we care?
It's a minute by numbers Superfly Snuka match. He does the running headbutt. He does the backbreaker Superfly splash, and they call it a night.
Yep, that's pretty much it. Then and it was weird because that match should have opened up.
Actually, this was kind of like a weird episode because normally the main event opens up Saturday night's main event.
Yeah,
because they preempted Saturday Night Live, so they would have like the Hogan match first because it was already on pretty late, so they're not expecting like kids to stay up like till midnight, you know, watching wrestling. So they would get the main event, you know, first, get it over with, and then you know they would progress into like the mid card stuff, and then they would have like a schlub match like this at the end because they knew that nobody was going to be, most of the audience was going to be gone, you know, by the end of the show.
Yeah. Well, there you have it. Saturday night's main event from May 27th, 1989, episode 21. And this has been episode 220 of the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. Dave, thank you so much for hanging, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Thanks for hitting me up to come on. This has been awesome. So it's always a pleasure be hanging out with the heavyweight primate.
That's right.
Blue collar scholar, Mr. Phil Impact Playa Rhea.
Hey, you got the name. That's fine. I got the skinny on it. Again though, thank you so much for hanging out with us. You want to plug anything? You're on social media, right?
Yeah. Really just if you really want to see what I'm up to, just follow New York Asian Film Festival on Facebook, on Instagram, which I'm primarily running. It's at New York Asian Film Festival. I think on Twitter, I think we just like changed the name last night because we used like our company name, which is Subway Cinema. But we switched it to NY Asian Film Fest. So follow us on Twitter there. The New York Asian Film Festival is going down June 30th. Through July 16th at the Film Society of Lincoln Center and at the SVA Theater. where you could see some of the best, awesomest Asian movies on the planet, from the independents to the mainstream. We're going to have a lot of celebrities there. We're going to be having parties, you know, on a bunch of those nights, especially opening and closing night. And you'll get to see the Mandingo, Rob Domingo, there, and yep. As well as myself, the Mega Powers, live and in the flesh.
In the flesh, baby.
Baby.
Of course, go to turnbuckle-throwbacks.com, get all our back content, support all our friends who are not network affiliates, including Rob, Thumbstick Ninjas, and there's a bunch of other shows on there. Support all those guys and girls and give them some love. And our back catalog is on there, of course. Go to rantemradio.com. Don't forget, Sunday, What Are You Reading comic book show with the Surfer, with the Silver One, and then follow that by me doing the Extreme Rules gimmick, the freaking pre-show. And then, of course, a new week of programming starts on Tuesday with the return of The Rant and The Shining Wizards. Shining Wizards got a new episode. Go download it from there. Or go to ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. Support all those shows. And Conclusive Breakdown, Nigel McGuinness, Dave Destruction, you know, and Shining Wizards. Just go support all those guys. It's a good time.
You know, all the B-level shows on the,
all the B-level on the shows. Network. Right, right. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. Of course, I am at TBuckleTBacks on Twitter. You want to tweet Choppy, it's at Choppy Margaca. Dave, you're on Twitter as well, right?
Count is there, but I don't even go on it.
All right.
So.
All right. You want to buy a shirt, prowrestlingtees.com/TurnbuckleThrowbacks. We're on Stitcher. We're on iTunes. Leave a review. Audio Boom. I mean, we're all over the place. Podbeam. Just look us up. If you have an Amazon Echo, you can ask Alexa to get Turnbuckle Throwbacks and she will deliver it to you. I tried it last night. It's fun. Go get that. And that's pretty much it for me. Dave, anything else before we wrap it up?
Oh, yeah. I actually do have, I have one more thing.
Okay.
With the New York Asian Film Festival, I'm actually making my return to the director's seat.
Oh.
I'm starting to direct their YouTube show called NAF Chat.
Nice.
So I'm actually, last week we got in the can an interview with Japanese actor Kanji Furutachi. He's kind of like, you know, like one of the, like those that guys.
Mm-hmm.
That you see, like he's like in every movie, doesn't always have like the biggest role, but he has a movie coming out called Harmonium. I think it's coming out June 15th or something like that.
There you go.
And, you know, we filmed an interview with him, so I got to direct that. So I'm actually kind of back in the film business again.
Look at you.
So once that comes out, I'll probably post that on the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Facebook page so everybody can check that out if they want to.
There you go. Yeah, go support that, man. Go support anything Dave does. Yeah. All right, so on behalf of the Mega Powers, I am the Impact Player, Mr. Phil Ray, bidding you adieu, reminding you all, please take care of yourselves, each other, avoid the clap, don't get arrested, don't say the N-word unless you're Tony C. And, you know, just preach tolerance, man. Just look out for, you know, support your local scene, your arts, your music, your wrestling. Just support all your local people. It makes America great. Not whatever's going on in politics. That makes America great. Supporting what you do best, supporting what you love, and taking care of yourself and everybody else. So, good night,
you know,
guys.
As Bill and Ted once said, be excellent to one another.
Definitely be excellent. Guys, have a great rest of your weekend. We'll be back next week. Same bad time, same bad channel.
We'll be live.
And we'll be live, right. Say good night, Gracie.
Good night, Gracie.